Cause of Death, the podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
It will happen every now and then in my podcast.
Cause of Death.
That we dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that I mean that liquids such as blood as an element will be the smallest problem.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel.
I'm looking forward to taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany. And my experience can be listened to here now.
Cause of Death.
Cause of Death. Crime Scene, New York. Part 1. Murder in the Bronx. Marcel's company has now been successfully represented in the USA for just a few weeks. A New York crime scene cleaner faces a special challenge. He calls in Marcel Engel via video chat. He is live virtually at the crime scene cleaning. Even for him, the level of violence at this crime scene is terrifying. Cause of Death, the podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel. My name is Marcel Engel, and I work as a crime scene cleaner. Every now and then in my podcast, we will dive very deeply into what is happening. I will talk about it openly. By that I mean that liquids such as blood as an element will be the smallest problem. I am looking forward to taking you on a mind trip into my world as a crime scene cleaner. Cause of Death is one of the successful true crime scene podcasts in Germany, and my experiences can be listened to here now. Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel. Hello, I'm glad that you have the time and desire to experience a very, very special crime scene with me now. Basically, I can already say that if you're new to this, you've chosen exactly the right episode, because it's about to get really exciting. I'll say it right away. It's not for the faint of heart. I've been a crime scene cleaner for 27 years now. I've seen a lot. I certainly have a very large network, and I also exchange experiences with crime scene cleaners in many cities around the world. I have a company in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. I have many nice employees who support and accompany me in the field of crime scene cleaning and special cleaning. Sometimes I am active in more parts of Europe, such as Austria, Switzerland, and Paris. We are in Milan. This worldwide pandemic has opened up a new opportunity for me. I was asked if I could imagine working for the local authority in America with my personal disinfection process. The request came in last December, and since March, we have now opened a branch in Washington and New York. We are really proud of that. We started very small, in each case with a team of two. In New York, we were even able to expand to three men. And what does all this have to do with crime scene cleaning, you might ask? In America, we didn't do crime scene cleaning at first, but disinfection procedures. But now, because of the pandemic, there seems to be a certain need. And something came up purely by chance, which is worth a story in itself. Last year, I was asked by an English broadcaster to share something about my disinfection process, and I have to say, my English is not good. I've been a little bit fortunate to have shared my stories on several talk shows, broadcasters, which has made us quite present there. There were several media outlets that covered the whole thing, and we were also on TV with it. And if you're interested, by the way, you can see everything on our website, acutesosclean.de. This is the website. But well, back to the story in America. I then gave an interview with my more or less poor English, and I probably don't have to be ashamed of myself for that. But I have to say, I was accompanied by a native speaker, and the reporter also accompanied me here in Germany on my crime scenes that were seen by a police officer in New York. I also knew a dear employee in America whom I trained, a crime scene cleaner, a very, very big one. At some point, he wanted to sell me his business, but that was just too big for me. He had about 800 employees, but that's how I got to know Florian and Michael. He then sold his business elsewhere, and this Florian worked there, and I then kept in touch with Florian and then asked, "Dear Florian, would you perhaps like to open a branch in America? New York and Washington for me and coordinate this? Florian is American, but also speaks fluent German. So I couldn't have had better conditions for a new start in a branch in America. However, Florian wasn't actually a crime scene cleaner, but an office worker. He did the accounting. He took care of customer care and material purchasing and so on. He was a bit of a jack of all trades and worked very closely with Michael. So enough of this story. Florian, my on-site crime scene cleaner, managed everything. For anyone who doesn't know, in America, everything is a bit different than here. Everything is much more relaxed. There are no compulsory masks and people around the street. Everything is different here. Accordingly, it was a bit surreal for us at the moment. That's why I have to tell you this. He went to get something to eat for lunch. He was standing with a Ford truck labeled Akutsos Clean, crime scene cleaning at a snack bar. A food truck like that. A patrol car comes by and stops. He liked our logo and recognized it from our report on TV. And he said, "This is an angel. The true crime cleaning angel of America." I had such a laughing fit when Florian told me that. So it has been incredible. And now watch out. This man, this policeman, is the one who has already given us the one or other job in the meantime in America through his precinct. The guys were also busy. They handed out business cards there, and somehow we are now involved in true crime cleaning, although we didn't put our focus on that at all. Then I said, we can start that sometime next year. We have to implant all these processes there first, which already exist here in Germany, and so on. A company like this isn't just about wiping away blood. I have my own crime scene cleaner school. An academy is now online. Soon also for people who want to learn this profession or want to make a career change. I train Florian and his people via this portal. This has then been translated into English. But still, the work process is still missing. Now I have really told you a lot of background knowledge about my company today. I don't expect that every listener will be interested, but now you are up to date. So here we go. He definitely recruited people as inside sales. They're not true crime cleaners either. Wait, there's one more thing I have to tell you. I really have to tell you one more thing. I placed an ad in America, in New York, and in various media. It's unbelievable. I would never have thought it possible how many people responded to this job ad in America. It overwhelmed me. I received over 18,000 applications in 24 hours. Now, you would think that with so many applications, there would have been crime scene cleaners. In other words, trained people who wanted to work for us. We didn't really see through all 18,000 applications either. We ran them through a filter, a program like that. Yes, and there were simply certain selection criteria. Maybe it's a pity for the people who can't join us in the team now and who might have had even better qualifications. But anyway, whatever. It is the way it is. I just wanted to tell you that. So we now have three people in New York who have not worked in the profession before, who are keen to work for me, to work for our company, and to represent the company and my philosophy of purity in America. We have high performance standards. Now you've heard a lot of talk from me, and now I'd say let's start with the scene of the crime in the Bronx, New York. Cause of Death, the podcast, The Crime Scene. Dear Florian, I have agreed with him that as soon as he is on site, he should please take me into the events via FaceTime. We knew that it was a violent crime, but other than that, we didn't know very much. We had gotten keys, and then we were in New York in the Bronx borough. It's exciting to be there. The streets look different, the houses, everything. I myself have never been to America, not even to New York. Everything runs a bit differently over there than here. Florian takes me along on the camera. We're standing together in front of a brick house. It's quite a narrow house. They're not as wide as ours, and the house had six floors, I think, and next to it a small industrial hall, a garage with a roll-up door. We walked up the stairs together. It was very dark. The windows in the stairwell hadn't been cleaned for what felt like 30 years. There were cobwebs everywhere. The staircase was literally rotten. Gloomy light. Violent crime. Wow, I thought to myself. Let's see what's in store for us. Florian unlocked the door, and the first thing we saw was a lot of blood on the floor. It really looked like a bucket full of blood had been poured down and then someone had been dragged through it. That's what it looked like, as if a body had been dragged across the floor like a brush. Long corridor about 10 meters long. On the left and on the right, three rooms went off. Everything looked extremely gloomy. The light sources were all rather limited. You might as well have lit a candle. You couldn't recognize anything. In addition, the guys are not yet so ideally equipped. Then they tried to bring light into the darkness with their phones and the LED lights. I said, "You watch out. We have to get into every room now. Or do you already know from the client in which room the crime scene took place?" And he said he already knew. "We have to clean three rooms." So I said, "Three of them? That's a lot." I already said the hallway was several meters long and the blood was everywhere. So you saw blood everywhere. I just thought, wow, a person can lose that much blood? I mean, as I said, I've seen a lot in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Paris, etc., etc., etc. So everywhere I've cleaned, certain experiences have been gathered. But with so much blood, they must probably have slaughtered a cow, because so much simply doesn't come out of a person. We went together with the cell phone down the hall to the first room. We turned on the light switch, and then there was a click. And I said, "Is the light on?" "I don't see anything," he says. The room was completely empty. I have to say yes to that. In Germany, it was already evening. In New York, it was noon at that time. So I think we have a 6-hour time difference. Although it was lunchtime in New York, there was no light coming in because the windows were covered from the inside with black curtains. In the room, I could already see the first graffiti on the wall. I said, "Oh my God, what is that?" Well, I didn't know what kind of space it was. The house was an apartment building, next to it was a garage, and here it comes. There was a door at the back of the hallway. It actually led to the roof of the garage. They must have broken through it at some point, and then you can practically get to the garage roof. So, we built wildly, and here it comes. Next door. On the right was the bathroom. That was the first time I could really see something of the crime that had taken place there. In the bathroom was an ancient bathtub. On the left, such a small sink, small mirror, and on the floor, a lot of blood. On the ceiling hung a metal ring, and on the metal ring itself, a bath curtain looked totally rotten and had a lot of blood on it. It looked a bit like someone had washed the blood off. I then said, "Go closer to the bathtub." I must say that the bathroom was quite large, unusually large. I think 15 square meters is huge for someone living in an apartment like this. My bathroom is smaller. Then I said, "Why don't you shine the light under the bathtub?" "It shines so funny," I said. Florian bends forward and reaches into a pool of blood with his rubber glove. "It feels funny," Florian then tells me. Then he takes this shiny piece up and says, "Ah, Marcel, that's a finger." I then said, "You're not serious." "Okay, let me see." Then he held it closer to the camera. Throw the finger into the sink first. It's disgusting. So here it comes. There were more fingers under the bathtub. Exactly 10. Someone must have tortured and the fingers cut off. Things are a little different in America. I think I still have to get used to it. I don't know how the murder investigation really works, but I'll come back to that in a minute as to why there might have been specifics there. Back to the crime scene. Florian has become a bit pale, understandably so. I then told him, "You watch out. We have to go through this together." There was another one of our boys there. He wasn't necessarily that experienced. He was more the comfortable type. I noticed that he had only ever seen something like this in the movies. I tried to encourage the two of them over the cell phone to keep going. Florian then said to me, "Marcel, somehow I have a funny feeling in my stomach." "How do you think that happened? I mean, it's an apartment building. People live upstairs. People live downstairs. You also heard the kids screaming upstairs. And downstairs there were people fighting. So it was an extremely noisy house. Upstairs and downstairs. Sure, torture is loud. But the victim probably had a rubber ball stuffed in his mouth. Because if someone cuts off your fingers by force, that's a lot of pain. And then the perpetrators probably tied the victim's arms so that he wouldn't pass out right away. And then I told my theory. Florian had to throw up in the bathtub. I then said, "We have to clean up now. You have to clean up your vomit as well." Florian was ashamed and already embarrassed. Calmed him down. We had to concentrate on the essentials. What we then noticed was that we had no vacuum cleaner with us, the most important utensil to suck up blood. Of course, you can do that with paper and with special absorbers and so on, but it's all torture. In the grand scheme of things, it's first roughly clean, and that's with a vacuum cleaner. I then said, let's go through with it anyway. Florian then got the enzyme cleaner and then sprayed the bathtub a few times, and then the bathtub was suddenly clogged and no longer ran off. I then told Florian to get a hand spiral. The problem was that the blood was already so thickened that it could no longer run off. So I said that nothing would help. Florian, you have to reach in with your fingers and get this thick, dried blood out. Then you throw it into the bag. So he reaches in there, fumbles around with his little fingers in the drain, and pulls it out again. Marcel, he says, something feels funny again. It will be just a few hairs, anything, I don't know, or food scraps. Well, no way. Florian suddenly pulls out the cartilage part of an ear. Then I thought to myself, oh my goodness, applause. The boy is spared nothing. I am a really empathic person, and at this moment, I really felt sorry for Florian. Eventually, we managed to get the bathtub to drain again. I then said, Flo, we now have to go into the other rooms. We are still missing two. We have only seen one now. Then let's look further. So, to the next room. But there was nothing there. We ended up in the kitchen. In my opinion, it was unusually large. I would say 45 meters in size. There was a huge table for 8 men. It was almost in the middle of the room. Along one wall was a huge kitchenette with stainless steel furniture in it. You might compare it to a snack bar. On the furniture in the kitchen, you could see blood everywhere. It was like in the rest of the apartment, very dark, and we then pulled open the curtains. Now we could really see blood everywhere on the kitchen counter and on the table. On the surface of the table were funny numbers carved into the wood, and the table was full of blood, as I said. And then I suddenly noticed that someone was executed with a bullet to the head. The blood splatters on the wall and the tissue remains told me everything. On the wall, you could see tissue remains, brain remains, and blood at head level. The blood then ran down the wall, and you could see the markings of the shoulders. Then it became clear. The person who shot the victim in the head must have been standing right in front of him, and that's why you could see the outline of his body drawn on the wall. It couldn't have been any other way. Bone remains from the skull we found scattered all over the kitchen. The kitchen itself was full of utensils. It looked like a laboratory, a drug lab. Only now did it become clear to me. The crime scene suddenly became a story for the top 100 hardest crime scene cleanups I've ever experienced. And I was really flashed. A very violent crime scene. And I can already say at this point, we have crime scene cleanings in America every day now, and I'll be telling several more crime scene cleanings from New York. If you have fun and want to experience these stories together with me, then I can already anticipate at this point, I'll take you into the next New York crimes cleaning story. Now, of course, the question remains. What happened in the first place? Who were the victims? We found out later from the police. Cause of death. The podcast. The victim. So 3 young men have been violently executed in this apartment. One of them was cut in pieces with a machete in the bathroom. The murder weapon was found. The murder weapon was seized, not by us, but by the police. The other 2 young men were executed in the kitchen. One was shot, and the other had to drink acid. I would like to digress briefly on this. As a crime scene cleaner, I have seen quite a few hotspots in Germany and Europe, ghettos where people fight for survival. But in New York, everything is a bit harder and more violent. We can all be glad that we don't really have to experience that here. There's bad stuff here too, but to slaughter and torture people like animals is a thing in itself. What fears must the victim have had in the last second or the last minutes of his life? What were his thoughts? And when I get into such a victim mentality mindset, then I always think to myself, wow, you have it good. I mean, sure. None of us will hopefully ever be in such a situation, to have to do with such people who do something like that to you. But I also have to deal with violent crimes from time to time, where it's just a robbery, where older people are attacked and torture someone out of greed, and in case of doubt, kill them. I think we can all be happy to live in peace. Yes, that's it for today. It was a long episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to more international crime scenes. There will also be something new in Paris soon. There was also an extremely exciting case recently. I now regularly accompany the guys via video and support them in their work process. And this results in exciting crime scene stories for us together. If you liked it and you are at Apple, then leave me 5 stars. Rate me and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Everywhere, you can find me under Marcel Engel, the Crime Scene Cleaner. I would like to make another announcement at this point. There will be a tour in Germany. If you haven't heard yet, please just follow me on Instagram or Facebook. We will announce it there when the tour starts. This is, of course, now, so a bit dependent on the pandemic regulations, which have now been tightened again for the time being. And I would like to say at this point, I would be very happy if we maybe meet in person and we experience a nice exciting evening with 3 of my most spectacular crime scene cleanings together in an evening format live on stage in my Germany tour. I wish you all the love and good luck. See you next week for a new episode when it's Cause of Death with me, Marcel Engel, the Crime Scene Cleaner. Ciao. That's it for the new episode of Cause of Death, the podcast with Marcel Engel, head of his own special cleaning unit and crime scene cleaner at more than 12,000 locations around the world. What can Marcel clean up for you? Anytime, anywhere in the world. Get in touch or just click through to MarcelEngel.com. Empathic, profound, honest. Cause of Death, guaranteed not to go cold. Be there. I'm looking forward to it. Subscribe to the season and you won't be late for an episode.
The podcast with crime scene cleaner Marcel Engel. Cause of Death.